Hour 2 of Overdrive on TSN 4, TSN 1050, streaming on the app, on the website, on your home speakers. I'm Gord Miller, sitting in for Brian Hayes. It is Mail It In Friday in Overdrive, brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. And Brian Hayes is mailing it in. First week together for you guys, and he put a big stamp on it and is gone.
As I said in the first hour, I don't understand. The weddings are always Saturday. What would have been,
there's
unless we're talking...
Tonight.
That's, well, I don't know. I just didn't think that that would have been a reasonable, like, miss the first week type of stuff, Gord, if
rehearsal,
you know what I mean.
Dinner,
I guarantee you, it was dinner. Like, or not dinner. It was golf with the wedding guys or something
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
Something
rehearsal
stupid.
Dinner is usually, I mean, it's a waste of time. You're not actually rehearsing anything. You're just going to get bombed. Like, we had a rehearsal dinner for a buddy of mine. He got so bombed, we brought him home in a shopping cart. Like, that's, you know, like, you, all you do is just drink with the guys that either flew in or that are there.
Yeah.
Like, your
it's not like there's footwork that needs to be put in place or, like, certain dance moves that need to be remembered. It's like, stand there and, like, it's just, he could have missed it.
Yeah.
We got to find out on Monday what the hell
well,
he was actually doing.
He also
doing
called in sick a couple of times last week. But I went to a rehearsal dinner one time where the bride and groom had it out. Like, the night before their wedding. Like, they had a full-on, like...
That's tough.
Yeah, the night before their wedding, in front of everyone at the rehearsal dinner.
You're not supposed to see each other.
Let me guess, Gord, well,
no,
they're not
there.
Together
they're,
right now.
They are not together now. No,
that's,
they are not. They that one.
Couldn't see that one coming?
No. I bought a gift divisible by two.
There you go.
Like if I think you're going to make it, if I think you're going to make it, I get you something. I get you a gift. If I don't think you're going to make it, and I probably shouldn't say this because people... That I've done this.
Right.
If I get you candlesticks, I'm not sure.
So you're talking, yeah, like something that you could just divide by two.
If I get you four, like, candlesticks, I'm not 100% sold.
Really? So that's a gift that you know that there's a 50% chance it's not going well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Easily split. If I get you, you know, if I get you like a crystal wine decanter, that can't be split.
There you go. So it's a toaster. You give the toaster, you know that you think that it's going to stick. Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't think I got you anything, did I, Jamie?
No, I would prefer, like, I don't love gifts. Like, I actually don't really care for them. Like, because a lot of them, they're kind of useless. You know what I mean?
Dude,
like,
I love the note on the invite. Put it right on the invite. We don't want a toaster, or however they word that. I know it's not like that. We don't want a toaster. But what is it, like, monetary or household things are not needed. We already have that because basically everybody's got that stuff already. Well, so just that means money.
I had a buddy get married in London, in England, and so he's Canadian. And so I thought I'd get them a gift that kind of, you know, said Canada. Like, what'll be a
nobody
nice
nobody wants it, Gord. I'm sorry. I don't care what you were going to say right now. Nobody wants
it. I know
that.
What it is. It's
what?
A toucan.
Maple syrup.
No,
it's a toucan hat.
No,
like a
I
scarf.
Got them, I got them a Hudson Bay blanket. You know the nice Hudson Bay blankets, right?
No.
Yeah.
I got them one of those. Do you know where they make those? England.
Hudson Bay.
They make them in England.
Oh, yeah. They make them in England.
They make them in England. And I got them a
Canadian.
Gift. I didn't know that. And as soon as they got it, they went, they make these here. I'm like, oh.
See, I just...
You
got to
go cash,
like,
man, Italian style. Cash, because nobody wants a blanket. They don't want candles. They don't want
maple syrup.
I think
Italians have it right. I think Italians do weddings better than anybody.
That's right. Security guard with the
100%.
Thing there. The envelopes go in.
Why is there a security guard?
The box. The box
Dude,
of cash.
You know how much cash goes in that things? Like, there's 300 people there. There is all. There. I guarantee you. My Italian buddies will tell you they've been to weddings where there's over $1 million going in that thing all day long.
I was at one a couple, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and they had armed guards. I mean, there was some serious cash at that thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and there's been wedding robberies, right?
Of course.
Really?
People, 100%.
That's crazy. I never thought of that. I mean, obviously, you give cash, like, or a check.
Think about it, Noodles. You just wheel into the wedding as wedding crashers, but you're not looking to chase girls around. You find out where the envelopes are put. You go order a gin and tonic. You wheel by acting like you're putting one in, but you're taking three out. Out the door you go. It's a great little racket.
I guess it makes sense.
You seem to have more insight into this than maybe you should.
I watch a lot. Too much crime TV, but it would be so easy to pull off. Because if you're non-Italian, you don't have the big thing, you don't need the security. It would be so easy to do.
I never thought about it. I mean, I think cash is king. That's why you can never go wrong with just giving a little bit of money for somebody to buy something that they would covet instead of getting them something that they have to fake and be like, I love it. This is amazing.
I agree. Don't know. So I went to years ago, I went to a rehearsal dinner in Calgary for an Italian wedding. Okay. Yeah. So the rehearsal dinner is at the bride's house and they got the folding tables. So they got big, long, there's like 25 of us there. Yeah. And she brings out, the hand-rolled, they've made the handmade pasta. And it's so good. Like, it's so good. So my buddy and I each asked for more. Well, the mother is so happy we asked for more, right? Well, I had no idea. So we have the second bowl of pasta. Now comes the roast beef cut like steaks. Now comes the fish.
What I don't get, Gord. Like, why on earth? Pasta is so good. Everybody loves it. As soon as you're done eating it, you're stuffed. You don't want anything else.
By the time, like, the fifth course came, I was going to bleed myself. Like, I was, my buddy and I were both like, okay, you take a bite, I'll take a bite. Like, it was.
I think Italians got to look themselves, like, they got to switch it up and just serve the pasta at, like, 2 in the afternoon. Take a couple-hour break, and then get back to the rest of it. It's too much at the same time.
I don't mind it. I've kind of...
Well, you married Italian.
I know, but I expect it now. That's the thing. When you go over, you get your head wrapped around what you're in for, because it's not just one little option.
Jamie, how many times has Steph said, Noodles, I'm preparing your favorite Italian meal tonight? How many times has that happened?
Oh, I know exactly how many times. Zero.
I'll take the over-under at zero.
Yeah. But I'm fine with it because I don't need a kitchen fire. Like, we don't need, you know, like, we're very happy here. We don't need.
So if she sends you an email during the show saying, Jamie, tonight I'm going to prepare your favorite meal or my best meal that I can fire up, what is that? Or is it?
Well, she does. I mean, there's pasta. She does a good pasta, but a lot of it is the reheating type of thing.
Well, hold on. But hang on a second. So, first of all, okay, Marcellus Wiley's coming up.
She does a good pasta, boiling noodles.
But let's be honest here, Jamie, because I've eaten with you on the road a lot.
Right.
Isn't it ridiculous?
Oh, it's so if she said, I'm going to make you your favorite meal, not her best meal, but your favorite meal, that would be a plain burger with nothing on it.
Yeah. Right. I've seen this guy in the cafeteria. It's like, can I have that chicken breast with, like, just the chicken breast?
Yeah.
Nothing else. And the rice and a little bit of corn, please. And it's just, it's bizarre to watch him eat.
Shouldn't that be easier to cook for then?
No, but you know what, though? Here's the worst, Jeff. Here's the worst. We're in Boston. We got an afternoon game. And so we race to the airport to catch a flight out. And there's only one restaurant open at the airport. It's a seafood place.
Right.
And he doesn't eat it.
He won't go. I got to eat. And they have non-seafood. So we go in, and he says, my food's going to taste like fish. It's going to smell like fish and taste like fish. I'm like, no, it's not. So we sit down, and he orders, like, again, a plain burger, nothing on it. Takes one bite, goes, it tastes like fish.
Of course it tastes like fish. You know why? If you go to Red Lobster and order a chicken breast, do you think that the chicken breast is going to taste like fish? Because they cook it in the same oil. They cook it in everything. They throw it in the deep fryer, the shrimp deep fryer.
No, you just talk yourself into that, Noodles.
No,
you're a weirdo. You talk yourself into it tasting like that. If that's not the case.
I guarantee you.
You're 100% right.
No. Hold on. There is somebody listening there right now that is a cook at a restaurant like these. And they're like, yes, no problem. We put in the fish stick and we put in the chicken breast and we drop it into the fryer at the same things. It's in the same oil. It tastes exactly the same.
You didn't have a fry. You didn't have it in the fryer. You had a burger cooked on a grill.
No, this one, I believe there was a fryer. It was a deep fried because we were at like
a
Bob's Fish and Chips place.
It was legal seafoods.
Well, exactly. Legal. Like, it was seafood. There was nothing. They probably had one chicken breast in the back and they're like, well, we'll cook it for this idiot who's at a seafood place, and he ordered chicken. Like, I was lucky I got out of there without getting salmonella poisoning. So
my favorite is to go to the hotel. We do a game in Ottawa, go back to the hotel, have a drink in the hotel, in the bar downstairs. It's actually right. a shore club. And Jamie orders sliders. I'll yes. have three plain sliders, please.
Yes. Well done.
Well done. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Like, honestly, like cooked within an inch of their life.
Yeah, but it's better for that. Like, you can't have raw meat. Like, I'm not interested in that. I think I have I'm soft when it comes to that. I feel like I've got I don't know what it's called, like a soft stomach. Like, I would get nauseous or whatever. I don't know what it is, but I just like my meat well done, regardless of if it's beef or chicken, obviously. But I think it should be easy to cook for. That's the difference.
Oh, you're easy to cook for. You're just awful to eat with.
Yeah, but you know what, Marcellus? Marcellus does something goofy too. We're going to bring him in here, okay. And I want to ask him. Bring him in, Gord.
Marcellus Wiley, a longtime NFLer, Fox Sports One host, and TSN NFL analyst, joins us on the Maple Total Hotline. Marcellus, thanks for joining us. Thank you for bailing me out. We have a lot to talk about here, starting with Jeff.
Marcellus, we're just talking about food habits, and you do something that I think was quite frequent this summer, and it's ketchup on tacos, and I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I get a lot of negative reaction when I tell people that, but always a good reaction once they try it, if they can get over that mental hurdle. Here's the thing, I grew up in L.A., Compton, California, grew up pretty poor, welfare, food stamps. Didn't really know why we never had salsa in the house, but we always ate tacos. And I just think it was just an economical choice for my family and my parents. Like, you can put ketchup on so many more things than you can salsa. So we just grew up eating ketchup on our tacos. And I look around when I got older, many people in L.A. were eating ketchup on their tacos. So I think it's kind of like a L.A. little tradition that hasn't caught fire outside of LA just yet. So if you guys try it and tell me you don't like it, then I'll believe you. But if you haven't tried it, I won't believe you.
I think it might be you and your buddy, but moving on to the game last night, if you could have one takeaway from the game, and it's kind of weird. We've talked about the Cowboy Nation. It's weird because some people are like, oh my God, they lost, but the Cowboys look so good. So what was your one big takeaway from the game? Was it Brady at his age still looking like he can do it? Is it the Cowboys? They might not be that bad. Dak Prescott coming off the injury. Just what's your one big takeaway?
It's the same, especially when you talk about any team with Tom Brady on it. Learning how to win versus knowing how not to lose. And you can look at all the stats that sizzle. You can look at all the things that were impressive by the Dallas Cowboys. But ultimately, they found a way to lose that game, whether it's just in time of possession, they controlled the clock, but didn't have the ball last when it mattered most in terms of the points. Or it could be them kicking a 60-yard field goal instead of trying to play that possession different. You know, Dak Prescott, his last three outings, has went out there and thrown for over 400 passing yards in each of those three outings. They've lost every single one of those games. Dak Prescott, when he goes out there and throws 50 or more times, is 1-6. This is not the formula for success, even though it'll make you say, wow, Dak is a lot better than I thought. It'll make you say, wow, this team has a real shot. But they don't win ball games this way. They don't have a balanced attack. You play in a game if you're the Dallas Cowboys. You win the turnover differential. You're +3. The other team has 106 penalty yards. The other team only has one rushing first down. They had a worse rushing attack than even the Cowboys did, and Zeke didn't do anything. You have all these things gift-wrapped to you, and you still find a way to lose the game. Just like the Patriots have shown us for the last two decades, it's not about if you can win the game, but making sure you don't lose the game.
And you look at Brady and his body of work, but I felt like Gronk still had it going too. I mean, was there anybody on Tampa that you thought found another level or just very consistent even from last season?
Yeah, it's funny. I love that Nick Saban and Tom Brady, the GOATs, always say that you're never defending a championship because the two teams are not the same, no matter what. Interesting, this team brings back all the personnel from last year's Super Bowl team, so you would say it's the same. But I remind people, I grew up playing marbles. And it's funny about a marble, they all roll the same, but they all look different. This team is going to look different despite it may end up being the same in terms of results. I guarantee you like this. Tom Brady looked better last night than he did last year. Let's remind people that three games was under 100 passer rating. And he had some mediocre games, let's just say, in the playoffs. In the Super Bowl, Tom Brady threw three touchdowns, but only 201 passing yards. Tom Brady looks better. Gronk looks better. Antonio Brown was not their best receiver last year. But right now, after one game, he is their best receiver. So I just think they're going to have to reconfigure what they are. Their defense last year looked better than it did last night. Let's be real about that. So it's going to maybe go to the same place, Super Bowl championship, but at the same time, it's going to look different in their approach towards it.
We're talking with Marcellus Wiley, TSN NFL analyst. 74 completions last night, an NFL record for completions in a game. But I want to take you to the fourth quarter, 24 seconds left. The completion to Chris Godwin on Jordan Lewis. And is that pass interference or not?
No, it's not pass interference for several reasons. One, the time of game. Like, if it's late in the game, the later in the game, the greater the infraction must be. Two, he didn't fully extend his arm. It was at most, it's incidental contact. And as a route runner, as a receiver, you're entitled to have ownership of your area. You're entitled to have incidental contact. So in revolution and spinning and trying to find the ball and track the ball, he extended his arm, but not fully, which is not illegal. All of that said, the context of the moment, the fact that he didn't fully extend his arm, and also, when you talk about back shoulder fades, a lot of times the defender is so vulnerable because he doesn't know when you're going to stop that even the wind blowing would knock him down, let alone if you just bump him. So if I were in that position, if I'm the Dallas defender, I would have to flop. I would have to flail. I would have to really exaggerate my fall to even get the officials to give me that call. But that time in the game, that late in the game, and he didn't fully extend his arm? No, that's not a PI.
Marcellus, what's got your attention this weekend? You got to go on the air on Monday. What do you think is going to be a hot-button topic, a player, a young quarterback that you want to talk about or you think you are going to be talking about? What's kind of perked your interest?
Oh, man, storyline central. The ratings were so high last night just because of the storylines and the teams playing. I think that continues this week. We can start with the Bills and the Steelers, two teams that won their division last year. There are only two matchups like that in week one where division winners face each other. Let's talk about individuals. Are the youngsters ready? Mac Jones, Zach Wilson. Let's see if Tua's back. And he had a winning record last year, but it seems like not a ton of support. Let's see if Justin Herbert is given too much in terms of attention and accolade too soon. Let's see what he does against the best defense he's going to have to face in his career so far, that Washington football team. And he has to do it on the road. There's so many storylines, every single game. Even looking at Jared Goff and looking at a Matthew Stafford, he's going against the Bears, and there's no Jared Goff. Everyone assumes they're going to be better. Problem is, you're playing a Bears team that's made the playoffs two of the last 3 years, and that has a good defense. Man, everywhere you look, man, the NFL is on fire. It's going to be fun to watch all of it.
We were talking about the NFL earlier in the week, and instead of the amazing storylines, is there one team that you would almost put money on to be an absolute tire fire? Like the other way, you know, instead of like, hey, you know what, the Patriots could do this, or, you know, the Bills look great. Is there one team that you're just like, that's a lock that they may not win a game or maybe win one game this year?
Oh, nothing that drastic. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. even Jacksonville, where I used to play, and maybe that's why I'm protecting them, I don't think they'll be that bad. I mean, they're in a division, Jacksonville with Houston, which is another unknown. They're going to be pretty bad. So you look at that division, it's not the strongest, even though Indianapolis is in there with Tennessee. That said, maybe to like change the question a little, I'm worried about the Baltimore Ravens. Not because they're going to be a dumpster fire. It's just because I had high expectations for them. But they've been so injured. They've been beat up so badly in this offseason and training camp that it's going to be interesting to see what they have left in terms of firepower. So injuries on defense, injuries to the running game. Marcus Peters gone. J.K. Dobbins gone. I mean, they're just grabbing old used-to-be's at the running back position, Le'Veon Bell's, and hoping and praying. We'll see how it turns out for the Ravens, because that's a Super Bowl contender that may now find themselves on the outside looking in.
Talking with Marcellus Wiley, a TSN NFL analyst. I want to ask you about the Bills and the Steelers this weekend. You know, I think a lot of people think this might be it for the Steelers. It's time to start over again, maybe start rebuilding. They're 6.5-point underdogs to Buffalo. What do you think of Pittsburgh's chances?
Yeah, it's interesting because last time we saw the Pittsburgh Steelers and we saw Ben Roethlisberger in particular, they were losing 28-0 at the end of the first quarter, and Ben had thrown 4 interceptions. They've retooled the running game. Najee Harris is a beast. He's going to be really good for them. Big Ben says he's better than ever in terms of feeling good and nutrition. All of that sounds good. You lost weight. Congratulations. The problem is, I hear that all the time, and I think two things. One, you should have never been so out of shape that it's a celebration that you lost weight. You're a professional athlete. I shouldn't celebrate that you're in shape. That should be normal. But also, it doesn't always translate. Ezekiel Elliott, you can tell, lost weight. You can tell he looks good. You can tell he's in the best shape of his pro career. How did Ezekiel Elliott look last night? Didn't look so good because they didn't properly utilize him, and he didn't break the times he had the ball. It doesn't always add up. So I got to make sure Ben Roethlisberger, because I know he's contemplated retirement 3 times in the last few years, I got to make sure that he's all in. I got to make sure that his engine is full throttle, because if your mind's not fully invested into it, it doesn't matter what your body looks like, whether you've been eating right or not. So I'm looking forward to seeing, are they retooled in the running game with Najee Harris, and more importantly, is Big Ben all in as the starting franchise quarterback?
Marcellus, thanks for talking to us. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, guys. Take care up there. Talk soon. Tacos with ketchup, everybody, all around.
Sounds good. Marcellus Wiley, join us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland. Ketchup on a steak, yay or nay?
No.
If need be. If there's nothing else around.
Really?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I think it's small town, hick, whatever you want to call it. But if it need be, I don't mind a nice, big, giant steak. And if you got to have ketchup, you got to have ketchup.
You know what bugs me? When you cook for people, and when you present it to them, they just slather ketchup on it.
But Gord, why would that offend you? It's whatever they want. Bates Battaglia's dad made sausages, Italian sausages, and yes, I fired some ketchup and mustard on it. You can't do that. Yeah, I can, because it's mine.
You know what, Jeff? I would not offend Bates Battaglia's dad.
No, yeah. I know, for a lot of different reasons. God rest his soul.
The man's nickname was the Don. So, yeah.
But it's my side. I can do whatever I want. People should not care.
I know, but we're doing someone's house.
I still think somebody puts down a plate, you can do whatever you want with it.
I get it, but I think what you're saying is you give a nice filet mignon, like a $60 steak.
Who cares, Jamie? Who cares? That's the way they like to eat it. There's a restaurant downtown that won't let you eat things a certain way. Oh. I'm not going to bring up the name again. I'm not going to do it. We'll get into it later.
Okay. Coming up next, John Herdman, the coach of the Canadian men's national soccer team, about World Cup qualifying going well so far. That's coming up on Overdrive on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and streaming on the app. Coming up at 5:30 on Overdrive on TSN 4, TSN 1050, streaming on the app and your home speakers. Gord Miller sitting in for Brian Hayes with Jeff O'Neill and Jamie McLennan. And Felix Auger-Aliassime has lost his semifinal match at the U.S. Open. He was serving for the second set, had a couple of set points, but lost and wound up losing in 3 straight sets. So he is out. Daniel Medvedev will go on to face probably Novak Djokovic in the final.
Layla, it's all about Layla Gorge.
Yeah, tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Man, it's unbelievable what she's done. And it's, you know, I don't know if you guys have been. The U.S. Open is a fantastic event. It's incredible theater, and she has captured it.
Yeah,
she has absolutely captured an event that is so big that it's hard to get your hands around it, and she's done it.
Well, and she's enjoying herself. I think, you know, it might be overwhelming for her. It'd be overwhelming for anybody. But at her age, to see that type of poise, the raw emotion, the raw excitement, I mean, and she's played fantastic. Yeah. Like, she's earned it. She hasn't, you know, backdoored. It hasn't been like injury after injury, you know, that she's faced and stuff. She's done a great job. It's been very exciting. And even her, you know, her comments after, you know, talking about
all
Steve
of it,
Nash,
Jamie.
And, yeah,
it's
just,
perfectly. It's perfectly. Everything's perfectly in line for her.
So, well, she's grabbed the attention this week, a little bit under the radar. And as a soccer fan, I can say this: World Cup qualifying has been going on. Canada's in the CONCACAF division, and it's a bit different this year. 8 teams, top 3 automatically qualify for the World Cup. The 4th place team will go into another sort of world qualifying group. And Canada, so far, has ties with Honduras and the United States at a 3-0 win against El Salvador. So 5 points, currently in the top 3 through 3 games out of 14. And joining us is the coach of the men's national team, John Herdman. John, thanks so much for talking to us. And tell us about your sort of, well, week and a half of qualifying and how you think it's gone so far.
Yeah, it's been a good week, a really good week. It's the first time we've experienced 3 games, this sort of intensity of matches in such a short window. So I thought the players, specifically, they responded well. Some good performances. I think we showed some growth from game to game. And then finishing at home with a 3-0 win. So I think everyone went home happy. This is a competitive window, guys. A lot of teams that can qualify, so yeah, to be sitting in second is a great space for us at this point.
John, Alfonso Davies kind of raised some eyebrows. I don't know if this stuff kind of gets across your desk, but with a tweet saying about knowing how important it is when he's on the team and then when he's not there, did that get across your desk? Was that anything to chat about, or what did you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everything gets across my desk. I mean, I've seen the tweet he sent.
Can you give us a backstory, what it is or what it's all about? Or a lot of people didn't.
Well, I
really
heard it was a inside joke between him and 3 of the Bayern Munich players. But that's what the player told us. It was some inside joke, and you know that's as far as he wanted to take it. But in my mind, at the end of the day, you know, with Alfonso, he's such an important player. And he's a passionate young man, so, you know, what he told us, I'll take it face value, and that's what it is. But at the same time, he absolutely wanted to play that game. He was desperate to play. And he doesn't want to miss any matches for Canada. So, you know, many fans read it one way, other fans read it another, but at the end of the day, the kid's absolutely committed to this country.
We're talking with the head coach of Canada's men's national soccer team, John Herdman. John, when you look at this qualifying format, 8 teams, the top 3 will go through right away. The 4th place team will have to try to qualify in a different region. How do you view the next set of games in October? Are you viewing it in groups of 3? Like, how are you viewing this set of 14 games?
It's a war, and every game is a different battle. It is absolute wild, wild west. You're heading into environments, different types of environments. Mexico will go into altitude in front of 80,000 Mexicans in the Azteca. 2 days later, we're flying into 35 degrees heat, playing at 5 p.m. in Kingston, Jamaica. And then we're into Toronto, back home again with our home crowd. So, you know, we've looked at where we want to be through this first phase. This first phase is 3 games every 3 weeks up until November. And then we get about an 8-week period where you can review, reflect, and really, you know, try to understand what we've achieved as a group and what we can change going into that next phase. But the turnarounds are so tight. So for us now as a staff, we're already in the scouting. We've done pre-scouting of all of the teams, but things have changed. You know, the Mexicans are a red flag country, so, you know, their lineups have looked very different than what was originally scouted. And we're still not sure if that will be in place, you know, coming into the next round. So the theme is adaptable. Just keep adapting to what is in front of us, one game at a time. There's always a three-game plan across the window, but it is one game at a time, and every game's a cup final for us.
Watching that game the other night, you know, I know because of COVID, the rules are a little bit different as far as fan interaction, and I'm sure you've seen that throughout these last 18 months, but it seemed to me, again, just from the outside and watching it, that place looked like it was hopping, and the fans were enjoying themselves, regardless whether there was, you know, 10,000 or 15,000 in the building. What did you see, you know, from the field?
Yeah, the fans were awesome. I mean, we turned up and we were booed off our own bus by El Salvadorians. They got there before the Canadian fans, and that sort of fueled us up a bit. And then in the stadium, there was still a lot of El Salvadorian fans, and I thought our fans were brilliant. There wasn't that south stand. They just kept us going. They did it for Honduras when we were needed fired up for that second half. They were there. And I think that's always the brilliance of football fans. Mm-hmm. They find another level for the players on the field. And then the celebration after. I mean, that was one of the most connected I've ever felt to my country here in Canada. I've never felt that connected before. You know, having that interaction with the fans and the players at the end of the game, with Ozil banging the drum, it was just a special moment. And I think slowly but surely we're going to start igniting this country, and those that might have put a El Salvadorian shirt on or a Jamaican shirt will start to pull our shirt on and want to support this team.
Well, John, you built something, helped build something very special with the women's team, and you saw them win the gold medal in Tokyo, which obviously had to be special for someone who's involved with it. Do you think the same thing could happen with men's soccer in Canada? We do have some great, I mean, Alphonso Davies is one of the great players in the world. Do you think the same thing could happen for men's soccer in Canada, which hasn't been to the World Cup since 86?
Absolutely. That was the mission in shifting over to the men's side of the game. It was to build a foundation of trust, a culture, a performance culture, and instill that belief that we can beat anyone. And that's slowly been building. I think the Gold Cup was a great example of that, when we didn't have Alphonso, Jonathan David, Kyle Larin, Atiba Hutchinson, Milan Boyan. We had a group of players there that showed, one, the depth in our talent, but more importantly, the spirit and the belief, you know, that we can beat Costa Rica, we can go toe-to-toe the 97th minute with Mexico, but not just defending, you know, being on the front foot against a team like that. So it is, it's the key to everything. You know, you build that trust, you build clear purpose behind what these men are fighting for. And the belief, you know, that belief comes through them sticking to certain processes together. And that's what's happening here. I think every game we showed growth, and that's what I've been focusing on, you know, from the first day I got here.
John, how did you feel watching the women win in Tokyo?
Yeah, absolutely loved it. You know what? I was kicking every ball, and I broke down. The moment I got us was seeing them on the podium, because it was real then. And I get choked up now, but, you know, seeing that flag go up, and I've seen it go up twice, and we never heard our anthem. And it hurts you, you know, because you know you were that close. But to hear the anthem and then see the flag go up on that pole, but more importantly, then seeing the Americans, you know, two rows down, priceless. Like, what a moment for our country. You know, this is a football country. And when our men make the World Cup, you know, it'll be a complete football country.
You know, it's interesting, before we let you go, that, you know, there's a theme this week. And I don't know if you've heard the comments by Leila Fernandez's dad talking about how his family was welcome to Canada. And there's been a real theme that way this week. And I love hearing you talk about your country, because you really do have a connection to this country. You're one of us now. And tell us about sort of the embrace you felt as a Canadian.
Well, I've been here 10 years this month. I've been here a decade. So, you know, my kids have grown up here. But it's, you know, my relationship's been through sport. And, you know, there's no more powerful connector than sport to bring people together, to bring countries together. And I've been part of it in 2012, that amazing moment we had with that young group, then 2016. And in Toronto, when we beat the US, I just know that there's another level here and our men can help this country reach it. And as I say, all these parties of people celebrating their origins, whether it's, you know, the Greeks, the Italians, the British, whatever. But one day, when the World Cup's on, it'll be all red. And that's been the dream of this team, to really unite a country through football.
John, thanks so much for talking to us and for sharing your passion, and good luck in the next round.
Thanks again. Cheers, guys.
All right, that's John Herbin, the head coach of Canada's men's national soccer team. He's, I'll tell you what, it really is something to hear someone, you know, just feel the passion for this country that he has for the women's team and now the men's team.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know if you've watched the previous shows, Gord. Hayes thinks he's a coach now. I was going to ask him, but it was, yeah, you know, we didn't have an opening. But Hayes
Gord,
thinks he's,
have you
like
heard this story?
Soccer
oh,
coach.
Yeah. I was here for the start of it. I was here. I was doing the show with Hayes when he asked to be called the coach.
Wow.
I was doing the show with him.
Four-year-old soccer game that he had to sub
one game.
In. One game.
One game.
See, and that's the thing. I wanted to ask John if people come up to him on the street and be like, yeah, you and I are the same, like we both coach, you know, soccer, mm-hmm, type of thing. And that would be Hayes. I've done a little coaching in my time.
It would be like someone came up to you like, yeah, oh, hey, you know, I scored 40 goals one time in my beer league. Or you know, Jamie, I was the goalie for my pickup team. Like, okay, that's not the same.
It's not. I mean, I know people look for, you know, common denominators when you want to talk to somebody, but that, like, I believe Hayes, like, seriously thinks he could be a soccer coach.
Mm-hmm. I love that, by the way. It's almost like a bit of a nervous reaction, but when someone said, oh, you played in the NHL, and they throw out, yeah, I played some Junior C in Flesherton, Ontario, and it's like, oh, cool. But it's like just a little nervous reaction that they have to say that they were a part of the brotherhood as well. I love hearing that stuff. But as far as Hayes, I sent him a text because we have to get our Survivor pool picks in, mm-hmm, for this weekend, which he contributes zero money to every year, and I have to pay for it. And I wrote, hey, idiot, we need our picks. And he wrote back, you're forgetting something. I go, what is it? He goes, it's coach. It's not idiot. And there almost was some language tossed around, but that's how he loves being called coach.
Well, he's a little bit ahead in the NFL picks so far. When we come back here on Overdrive, we'll talk about what happened last night and the picks for the weekend. That's coming up on Overdrive on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and streaming on the app. Hour 2 of Overdrive on TSN 4, TSN 1050, streaming on the app and on your home speakers. I'm Gord Miller, sitting in for Brian Hayes on Mail It In Friday. And he is doing that. Hayes is at a wedding this weekend. So last night, a late comeback by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a field goal. Now, the game as far as Team Al's brother and O-Dog was long over before that because they gave the 9.5 points.
Yeah.
So,
tough.
So, when did you know it was over?
Well, when they start turning the football over, for one thing, Gord, you know that that's a bad sign.
That's a bad thing,
yeah. Yeah. What was it, four? They give it away four times last night?
No, one of those was a Hail Mary in the second half.
Who cares?
It's the first half,
it's four times, so you know that you're done when the turnover game goes to the team that you're betting against. But I don't know. Like I said, you claim you gamble, Gord. I don't. Like, I'm not going and gambling. I bet on this show, and I bet with Hayes, and I have to exchange money with him. But as I mentioned, this Al's brother character, his sales pitch to me.
You don't know him now?
Yeah, well, his sales pitch to me every time, it's like clockwork. It's like if a producer was talking to you two about a setup for the pregame, and this is how it's going to flow, and you guys are nodding your head, and you're like, yep, this sounds so good. And then go time, and nothing's ready, nothing's prepared, and you're like, what? Why did you tell us all that?
Well,
that good stuff. Like, it's just, he makes me buy in where he's like, Like, he gets on the horn and he's like, this is a double digit win all day. And I start drinking the Kool-Aid and I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Because Brady's my guy. I switched over. I'm a Bucs fan now because he obviously went there. We're Super Bowl champs from last year. So he starts talking double digit win and I'm all in on that, Gord. So wow. He needs to be under the gun here.
Okay.
Where if this continues, maybe it's O'Gord's team.
Well, it's got to be something. Here's what I'll say, too. I kind of challenged it because we have this like little saying on the show now where Mulls can, if he doesn't like what he hears, he could just jump in with the attaboy, Brooksy.
Right, Brooksy. Or,
yeah. That.
If you say something stupid, you're going to get that sound.
Right. So Al's brother was being a hero yesterday. And because he's smooth and he's got his little script there and he's like, yeah it's getting. And I simply asked, I said, if Mulls doesn't like what he hears, can he just give the attaboy Brooksy? And he doubled down and was like, well, that's not on that one. That's a great pick. And I thought to myself, mate, what if it's not? Like, what if you're actually, and I don't know if it was actually on this particular pick or maybe one of the games on the weekend. And I thought to myself, you're shining up a turd and everyone's believing it because you're so convincing. But I want to see if Mulls, if he's passionate about it, maybe that's his team, and he's pissed off, he can give the attaboy Brooksy if Al's brother's talking nonsense.
Okay, let's look ahead to the weekend now. Today's NFL picks for Week 1 are back and brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. So that was a $200 game last night.
That was. Right. That's a loss. So
all right, Brooksy.
Yeah, attaboy.
So now, so you just assess what's coming up on Sunday and tell me what you think.
Just to be clear, so Steelers, Bills, the Bills are favored by 6.5. Hayes is taking the Steelers to cover. So you don't have any blood in that game? You have no skin in that game, is that right? Oh?
Well, just he made the selection, so we're stuck with what we're stuck with.
Oh,
right?
so if they do cover, he wins and you lose.
That's correct,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay, so he's got that. You guys have taken the Browns to cover the 5.5-point spread against the Chiefs.
That one with Patrick Mahomes kind of is a little bit
dicey.
How did
you get talked into that?
That was Al's, that's Al's brother again. He's like, I really like Cleveland in this game, and I think they're going to keep it close.
Now that's an amazing score.
That's just something, I don't know how I agree to that as well. When I think about it now, I think Kansas City could absolutely beat the snot out of Cleveland.
I think you're right.
And yes!
I think that might have been the one where I was like, brought that comment up, and he got
Cleveland's got some like fake hype, where everyone, every year, it seems like for 5 years straight,
they've
said...
People want them to be good.
I know, and they've said, you know... They're going to be like their Baker Mayfield's going to turn the corner, and it's year after year, and it's this fake hype, and it's just they never get it done. So now all of a sudden people think that they all magically might get it done,
all right,
and that they might be awesome. So who knows?
So you're down two Bills, and then Bears-Rams is Rams by 7.5, and Hayes is taking the Rams to cover.
That was his doing.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, the Bears suck. The Bears
so
suck.
What do you got in the Monday nighter? What's the
we make that selection on Monday,
yeah. and that's the 500, right?
Yes. So it's
that's
300.
That's the Chase It game.
That's 300 is up for grabs on Sunday,
and you're down two,
and we're down two. So we could get back into business, I hope, because it could be like if we get rinsed on Sunday, we're down 500. Well,
I think
there's another
three.
Thing.
I think you're going to be down three Bills.
Wow. You think so?
I think you're going to lose two of the three. I think you're going to lose two of the three on the weekend.
That's not good.
That's almost like damage control. Like, I'll take it almost, Gord. Like, that's a loser mentality, or as Pat Quinn would say, a loser's race. And if I'm only down three with the 500 game on Monday, I got to come up big. That's the way I'm looking at it right now.
You
got to
chase it. Who makes the pick on Monday?
Well, I'll tell you right now, if we're getting rinsed and we're down a lot, it's our selection. But that almost scares me where I want to put it on him where he can screw up and we don't have to think about it.
All right. Today's NFL Picks for Peak 1 brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Coming up in the third hour on TSN 2, Steve Phillips, our Major League Baseball analyst, will talk about the red-hot Blue Jays and what's ahead Vasek Pospisil, Canadian tennis player, will join us, although he's, I just saw him on TV on the court with Novak Djokovic. He's practicing with Novak Djokovic right now.
Love it.
So he's supposed to call us at 6:30, so that's cool. We'll get the latest from there. Yeah, and then we'll have our weekend plans on Mail It In Friday here on Overdrive on TSN 1050. Mail It In Friday on Overdrive, brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, TSN 4. We're back on the other side on TSN 2.